But one of the other things I want to do is I want to be sitting in Ronnie Scott's by the bar at the back, as I often am, perhaps chatting away with Simon, the manager, and in will walk a Mr. Ian Shaw with a wicked grin on his face. And I'll know that a Soho night has really begun, because that's one of my favourite sights in life. Mr. Shaw, how are you, sir?
Very well. It's all your fault, I think everyone should know. I'm loving your shows. If these were a fix before for me, they've now become an obsession.
Oh, thank you, Ian. So first of all, I mean, you are, you know, since James Brown's passing, you are the hardest working man in showbiz. And clearly you can't do an awful lot of work at the moment. So how's life without jazz?
Well, it's first of all, James Brown, because I sing in Pee Wee Ellis's band. So that's a strange one. Life without jazz, it's kind of two things, really. It's brought out the worst bits and also the best bits, I think. You know, I'm conscious that there are families with a musician friends. So they used to be called sidemen, you know, players that play in all sorts of various bands, and they've got families too. I'm kind of lucky in a way that I'm single, because I can get up at 4 a.m. and eat crisps, obviously. But I mean, I'm missing my friends. And I think in about 2 weeks' time, I'll miss the feeling of sharing songs with people. I think it's just on its way. It's coming. I'm hoping I can turn it into something positive, you know, at home.
Have you been writing and stuff at home? Or
I have. I'm not naturally one to plonk myself in the spare room where the dodgy Fender Rhodes piano is that needs 11 notes fixing on it and do a concert. Leanne's doing...
I know. I've seen a couple of Leanne's. They're wonderful. Yeah.
8 o'clock every Wednesday, and she's making thousands for our blessed, you know, NHS. It's just extraordinary. So I will do something at some point. I did a tribute to Bill Withers. Just I'd had too much coffee, and I thought I love that song, the smiling song. So I did that. And you also played. You're talking about backing vocals. Like you played the great Roy Ayres at Albert Hall, and you were in that room when I was there doing backing vocals.
I was. Yeah, absolutely.
So that got me dancing in my pants again.
Do you know? I mean, I said that I'm missing, you know, going to Ronnie's and Soho and all that. Do you know what I'm really missing? Is the company of strangers. Because I've got the company of my family, who I love dearly, and I'm communicating with friends, but it's those chance encounters. It's that you're not getting in the street or in the club or in the pub or in the bar. Do you know what I mean?
It is that. And I'm, you know, I'm like hopefully everybody, I'm rigidly sticking to the physical distancing thing.
Absolutely.
And I'm a walker. You know, I've walked London. I'm not a Londoner by birth. I'm Welsh, as you know. But I've walked London, gosh, you know, for 30 years. And I'm noticing two types of people, the genuinely fearful people. And, you know, that has to be said. And I always try and smile. I'm not wearing a mask. I'm wearing gloves and keeping distance. But I've noticed also people, amazing sort of acts of neighborliness and stuff. You know, my gorgeous neighbor, Mary, she's 87. She's from Ireland. And she's doing as much as she can as well for the homeless, as well as, you know, asking me, is there any hairspray left in the local shop? And could I pick some up?
Yeah, I often return to my mum in these times. And I remember my mum, when she was 83, saying to me, oh, I've got to go up the shops for the old girl over the road. She said, I was thinking, what?
I don't think none of us, we don't get older in ourselves, do we? We think, we always think we're the younger of anyone, don't we?
Well, you're the young jazz singer in town, Ian. We all know that.
Get away.
So let's talk about the new record, which is We Stop Talking. I mean, first of all, tell us how it came about and stuff.
Well, it's your fault.
Really?
Bob. Yes, because, you know, London, like every city all over the world, is, you know, at the moment, especially, it's shaped completely shifted. And I love your book, London Native, Memoir of a Shape-Shifting City. And I reread it. And I miss my parents. My dad brought me to London, you know, when I was 17 and a half to try and get into uni, which I did eventually. And I was profoundly moved in your book, the bit where, you know, one of the most important gifts that we have as families is talking and talking about good stuff, you know. Yeah. And that was put on hold in the book when you lost your dad.
Yeah.
And you started walking. And I just thought, well, I'll start there. And it just... I've nicked a few obvious phrases from your book. I do hope that's okay.
Oh, of course, blimey. Blimey, don't be silly. You can have whatever you like, mate.
Thank you, darling.
They're out there in the world.
Yeah, they are. And there's some, you know, there's some extraordinary parallels in there. You know, as I say, I walked London, and it, at the moment, it's such a bag of mixed emotions. You know, I'm looking up more and photographing little quirks and things. And I'm seeing the homeless more than I ever did before. The rough sleepers who, you know, like refugees and asylum seekers, they can't become invisible. You know, and if this awful virus is showing us anything, it's that we're truly all the same. And, you know, we're all vulnerable.
I had a really touching but also very disturbing moment at the weekend. My wife and I went for a little walk on Saturday morning. I'm just up to King's, sort of the garden in King's Cross, which is only, you know, 10 minutes from my house. And we were walking along, and in the distance, I could just hear a homeless man shouting, "Help, help."
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We walked up towards him, and there was some police within them. But I just thought, how can we help? Do you know what I mean? I felt so helpless at that point.
Yeah, it's become a medical problem, which it sort of was before, especially with the, you know, with addiction and rough sleeping. But now it's a completely new way of dealing with of the problem, and that is, don't look away. Just don't. You know, you can't. And if you've got a few bob, and that's really hard at the moment because we're all kind of saving our
coffers. Because no one has.
No, but I've discovered that you can wash a fiver. So if you find a fiver in the back of, you know, the new fivers, you know, give it a wash and just go out, because they're just, you know, they're only invisible if you don't look, you know. And it just breaks my heart. My local shops, you know, there's a changing wave of them as well, and of these people, this community, and it is a community. And, you know, often it was created by us looking away. And I just think it's important to, even if you've got no money, just have a chat, you know. And I've been, you know, as we all are, you know, trying my best, you know, with everything in this dreadful situation.
So let's get back to the piece of music, because we're going to play it. It's called We Stop Talking. And as you said, that sort of comes from a line in my book. I'll explain where that came from. When I was very little, I was the youngest of three kids. And my dad, who was very much a man who liked a debate and a discussion and an argument and a political talk and all of that, we used to have the arguing hour every Sunday in my house. This is literally true. I'm coming, and I'm only six, because he died before my seventh birthday, so I can only have been five or six. But I've got two elder brothers and my mum and dad. And every Sunday we would listen to Sing Something Simple on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'd listen to the pop charts, because they were both on. It was one for the grown-ups and one for the youngsters. Yeah. And then when that was turned off, we would have the arguing hour, and we had to sit round a table and talk. And even though I was only little, I was not just encouraged to take part. I was, you know, I had to take part. We had to all debate something. And at the time, this, you sort of thought, oh, you slightly dreaded it. Looking back now, how wonderful was that?
Yeah,
that we had to talk. He encouraged everybody to talk, to have an opinion. And then he died. And my mum tried to keep it up, but she couldn't. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't something she could do. So the talking stopped on a Sunday evening. And that's why this song for me is really touching.
Oh, well, you know, I hope so. And we, you know, we are in great danger of not talking. And I think this situation, this pandemic is making us talk a lot more.
Yeah.
And also walk. I mean, we can walk at the moment. We can walk. I mean, I think keep an eye out for that, you know, for the situation where we can only go out maybe twice a week. And I don't think that that's such a bad thing, although, it, you know, for people with kids, it's
very, and people in small apartments, and
you know, I'm so lucky, you know, I live on the 453 bus route, and I'm just watching the bus go along. It's always been a sort of emotional thing for me, knowing that I know exactly every stop where it ends up. And
and did you see we've lost loads of bus drivers through this?
I know, isn't that
got me this morning.
It got me too. And I was just about to say that. And the other thing is, looking at the buses now, people are obeying, because some people have to go to it. They just have to go to work, even if they're not key workers. They just have to put food on the table for as long as they can, you know. And hopefully they do it in a way that, you know, I've just seen the 453 go past, and now I'm sitting in my living room. Scantily clad. No, I'm only joking.
If you're in your pajamas, I don't want to know, Ian Shaw.
I am not. They're loungy day ones. The fact that they've got Winnie the Pooh all over them is a bit of a worry, but then. So, and, you know, there's distancing on the buses, which I just want to shout out the window, you know, well done. Well done.
So the song is called We Stop Talking. Who's playing on it and stuff?
It's Jamie Safier. We wrote it physically together in the room, as you know, as a result of me rereading the book, London Made Us. And then we had the sort of semi-lockdown situation and the social distancing. So he finished it with a brilliant guitarist, slide guitarist called Alex Hayne, young guy. And it's Dave Ohm on drums, my regular drummer, and the wonderful Connor Chaplin. And it's me doing all the backing vocals because, of course, I couldn't really do anything else because we had a limited budget. And it was recorded at the Cowshed Studios, which is where I recorded with Jamie Cullum, Charlotte Church, Marcella Detroit, Ben Cox Band, Gwyneth Herbert. So the whole thing came together in such a beautiful way. And it was down to Jamie Safier learning how to edit a video, which I frankly...
Because there's a video that goes with it, isn't there?
There's a sort of... Yeah, we've borrowed some Pathé News things, which is on the video, which makes sense. And also there's a friend of mine, Bumi Thomas, who was really struggling with the post-Windrush advocacy thing. She was Glasgow-born and was in great danger of being deported last year, and we managed to rally together and hopefully put a bit of a stop on that situation. So there's all sorts of elements in the song, but I did nearly get arrested in Vauxhall at one point. I was staring
only once.
I was staring at MI6 thinking, what a weird building, and wonder what happens in there. And and the whole thing came together as a result of your book. So there we are.
Well, I'm honoured. We're going to play it. I can imagine many reasons you might have been arrested in Vauxhall, Ian. This is Ian Shore and the band, and we stopped talking. Oh, what proceeds go to?
Cyberside Refugees, which is www.sidebysiderefugees.org, and the wonderful, wonderful homeless charity St Mungo's, who I've done a bit of volunteering myself with. They're so hands-on, and they're struggling as well. The details are all on the... At the moment, it's just a video on YouTube, and you can donate, or, you know, if you can't afford, don't donate. You know, just be aware of it all, really.
It's like she said last
Cheers, Ian.
Thanks, buddy.
When none of this happens, we saw the doodlebugs, but there were jitterbugs. Everybody knew how your father loved you so. And now there's glory bells and righteous yells. We saw it all, with no substance at their core. And your father couldn't tell you straight, he didn't see you grow. Why would such a good man go? I started walking stopped talking. So many ghosts to haunt you, so many songs to bring. I walk from west to east, I walk the city streets. You can never really go back home again. We danced to Molly at the Rainbow in our Friday best, and tricks and flicks, marine ices on Saturdays. Then it was camel coats and dirty river boats, and finding Gilscott heron cheaper in the racks of rainy day. But I remember how she loved to sing, I can't stop loving you. And I wonder where this music leads me to. I started walking when we stopped talking. Although I don't remember all the words to that sad song, pay me well and watch me cover it. And tell us what the past looks like to you. Don't rewrite. No, no. I'll sing and I'll hope we can meet again someday. Of good times and the faces of old times, once shining new, but now it's history, it's youth, it was me and you. And now there's people trying to survive, seeking safety from the rules we thought we'd made before. So we'll close every door, forget what went before. Pull the ladder up again. We watch these folks rebuild our roads, our lives, our hopes. And all we do is question every day. So history, she said, belongs to everyone. Lock it up, pretend it's unchanged. Can we start talking? When will we stop walking? Can we start talking? When will we stop walking? Can we start talking? When will we stop walking? Can we start talking? When will we stop walking?
Oh, I'm so honored by that song. Sarah says, brilliant and so emotional. I love the line about marine ices on Saturdays. So did I. We used to get marine ices with my kids every week, well, pretty much every weekend. Nostalgia captured in a song, and it is nostalgic. And the fact that that was kind of inspired in part by my book just makes me really, really proud. Thank you, Ian. And thank you for doing it for everybody. There you go. And there's a video that goes with that. So that's the new record for me and Shaw. And it's all, you know, as he said, the proceeds go to fantastic places. And that was We Stop Talking by Ian Shaw. And you heard it here on the Robert Elm Show on BBC Radio London. And you can, that song is only, it's on YouTube. And you make donations. So just look it up on YouTube and have a look at the video. And it's, as I say, it's a song inspired, because, you know, in many ways, the book London Made Us was inspired by this show. It was inspired by my mum, but it was also inspired by this show and spending so many years with you in this great city. And then that's kind of led to that song, which makes me, as I say, very, very proud indeed.